What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this kook. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
Where the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. Thank God it's a freak flag, feel good, fake it till you make it, Football Friday edition of the Rodcast. You can always be a part of the show. Please do hit us up, 512-337-3776 on the Specs text line. That's how you do it. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse for all my tweeps out there. My man Wags back there doing his thing, twisting and tweaking it out.
I am the eyes and ears of this institution.
That is the truth. You can hit him up at Not the Fake Wags, all right? We don't support them fake wags out there, all right? So Not the Fake Wags. Also, shout out to my man Trey. Shout out to Trey, because I was just having a little crosstalk with the guys, and then Trey, you know, we were talking about how St. Paddy's Day has a double delightful meaning for me, because it's St. Paddy's Day, of course, but also it's my anniversary, like with my woman. So usually now I'm programmed after 5 years that boom, it's not St. Paddy's Day. That's not the reason to party. The reason to party is because I'm celebrating my anniversary. So I did that so I could remember and I wouldn't forget it. So anyway, my man, we're done with crosstalk. You know, Trey and BK are leaving. We're saying our goodbyes. Like happy St. Paddy's Day, and have a good weekend and be safe, all that kind of stuff. And then I hear happy anniversary, man. And I was like, who said that? I was like, I thought it was BK for a second. I was like, Trey was like, no, it was me. Happy anniversary, man. And I was like, I've never had another man tell me happy anniversary. And I appreciate it. It actually made me feel good. I was like, oh, thank you.
He's been through it. He's got skin in the game.
I never had another man tell me that. So, yeah, I appreciated that. That's, you know, Trey's a very thoughtful guy. Very considerate. All right. We got a lot of things to get into on the show. Of course, we're going to continue reflecting on the legacy of Augie Garrido, who passed away yesterday. We'll continue to do that. We have some sound and statements from those within the Longhorn family, past and present. And we'll get to some of that, too, coming up. After the rundown, we're also going to talk Texas basketball right after the Rodcast gets done. We dive deep into it. We go straight into it. Craig Way, the voice of the Longhorns, Eddie Orne, they're going to be on the pregame. And then I believe at 3:30 is the tip. So we'll go right into it. No Chad and Kevin today. So we'll talk about the Longhorns and how they can pull off the upset over the Nevada Wolfpack today. Also, we'll get into some NFL headlines. Next segment, as a matter of fact, there is still some stories bubbling about the Cowboys and what they are going to do in free agency. The word on the street is they're still trying their best to do something. They want to make a splash of some kind, but it's been cricket so far. So we'll get you caught up with all the reports. Also, since we're going to talk Cowboys, equal opportunity, we'll talk about the Texans as well. The Texans are learning a lesson, a hard lesson about things that you shouldn't skimp on. You shouldn't be cheap about certain things. All right, so we'll get into that coming up next segment. Also, next segment, we'll talk about some of the big stories coming up from the tournament. As a matter of fact, let's do that right now and get you caught up with some of the rest of the headlines from the day in the rundown.
It's time!
These are the top headlines of the day. It's time for the rundown.
All right, the rundown, as always, brought to you by our good friends at Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. TopGun.net is where you find out more about Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. All right, let's get you caught up with the scores so far in the NCAA tournament. Right now, Texas A&M up on Providence 55-52. They're in the second half, about 5 minutes left in that contest. You also have 15 Cal State Fullerton going up against number two Purdue, a two-seeded Purdue. Purdue is up right now 41-23, about 15 minutes left in that game. The Marshall-Wichita State game right now, still early on, about 5 minutes left in the first half, 24 24- 28 right now. Marshall is up on Wichita State. Coming up, I believe in also right now, forget about this, Georgia State, 15-seeded Georgia State, just tipped off not too long ago against Cincinnati, number 2-seeded Cincinnati. And I believe right now the score is 5-1. Georgia State is up there. You got another contest coming up, Lipscomb versus North Carolina, a 2-seed and a 15-seed. The big stories from yesterday, though, OU sucks and OU went down to Rhode Island yesterday, 83-78. That was also a big game. Trey Young, probably his last game for the Oklahoma Sooners. Yes, and OU does suck, no matter what time of the day it is. Also, Loyola Chicago beat 6-seeded Miami. That was a big upset. Cinderella, 11-seeded Loyola, beat 6-seeded Miami, 64-62. And that was in with a buzzer beater. I think Dante Ingram was the young man who hit the buzzer beater for him. Ended up winning in that contest. And Buffalo, this was the biggest upset of the Cinderella story of the first big day of the tournament. They beat they ended up beating Arizona 89-68. It was
bracket buster,
old biblical, old testament style butt whipping. Oh, and how about this? The coach, Nate Oates is his name for Buffalo. He actually predicted they were going to win on Wednesday. Yeah, I didn't know that. I saw that sound, and that's he's got a pair on him, the size of smart cars, and I like it. So Buffalo with the big bracket buster, and yeah, we'll get into why this is good and bad for the NCAA tournament to have a Cinderella story like that. But it just wasn't a win. It was a dominant performance by Buffalo over Arizona. Arizona, a lot of people had them making a run to the Final Four in their bracket. So, yeah, that was indeed a bracket buster. That was another big game from yesterday as well. Also, coming up today, of course, you do have the Longhorns tipping off against Nevada. That'll be at 3:30. Like I said, 3 o'clock is the pregame right here on 104.9 The Horn with Craig Way and Eddie Orne. All right, let's get you caught up with what I think is the other big story of the day, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, which at this point, I believe Tiger, I got to check in and see if Tiger has done or not, but at this point he is out. He was in the top three yesterday. He's out of the top three. Henry Stixon is tied for the lead with Bryson DeChambeau. He's tied with the lead at 11 under, and then there's Taylor Gooch, who is now in third. He is 10 under. Ricky Fowler, familiar name, is at 6 under. He is tied for fourth with Billy Horschel, and Luke List is also tied for fourth. Rory McIlroy at 7th. Ernie Els is also tied for 7th. You got to get down a ways before we find Tiger. Here it is. Tiger Woods is now tied for 17th at 3 under. Right now. So, yeah, Tiger is still, obviously, Tiger in the running, but he is tied right now for 17th in the Arnold Palmer Invitational. We'll get you some more updates with that, obviously, all throughout the day. Another story, at least close to home, that Longhorn fans will care about, Texas baseball. They're going to start a Big 12 play tonight, as a matter of fact. That game will be coming up at 6:30, I believe, is the first pitch. And Kansas is 12-4. The Longhorns right now 9-9 after losing 5 straight. They're looking to bounce back, and they will be playing. I'm sure there'll be some type of remembrance or some type of tribute to Augie at that game. So that will probably be one of the most attended games this year for the Longhorn baseball team, because a lot of people in that Texas baseball family, I'm sure, will be out there, and I'm sure they'll wear something, maybe a sticker or a patch or something like that on the uniform to commemorate Augie as well. So that's coming up tonight also for Longhorn fans. And also the Texas women's basketball team, they start their NCAA tournament on Saturday. They're going to play Maine, a 15 seed. The Longhorns are a 2 seed in that matchup, and I believe the Longhorns are 8th ranked overall. So Saturday, that is going to be at the Frank Irwin Center as well for a Longhorn fan. So a busy weekend for Texas sports. Another story, Tom Benson, the owner of the Saints and the Pelicans, he passed away at the age of 90 yesterday. It happens in threes, right? Celebrity deaths, Augie, Tom Benson, Steve Hawking in threes. Yeah. I know. That's always
Greg Mack, too, man.
Oh, Craig. Well, are we going to put Craig Mack in?
I will. Okay. This is subjective.
Oh, it is. Stephen Hawking, Augurito, and Tom Benson.
I don't know you can't put Craig Mack up there with that caliber,
Craig Mack gets bumped out, unfortunately, of the big three. You know what I mean? But you're right. Craig Mack deserves some love. He's in there, too. So either way, whatever your trio is, it always happens in threes for some reason. Jordy Nelson is going to sign with the Raiders, reportedly. They are releasing Michael Crabtree, which means Michael Crabtree is going to be on the open market. There are some Cowboys fans who said, hey, bring him back home. He's actually from Dallas and from the Metroplex. Alex Okafor, lifetime Longhorn Alex Okafor, signed a 2-year deal worth about $10 million with the Saints, so congrats to him. And the Texans lost one of their free agents that was formerly with them, Marcus Gilchrist, the safety. He also ended up signing with the Raiders, and the Raiders also signed a linebacker, Tahir Whitehead. They signed with him. And this was a story that went way under the radar. Trevor Siemian was traded to the Vikings, actually, and that was finalized. It was just one of those things that went under the radar, but once Case Keenum came in, you can't have Case Keenum, Paxton Lynch. I think Brock Osweiler was actually a free agent, but who's going to pick up the Brockopolips? I have no idea. But, so there's some of the moves in the NFL. We'll get to some more notable moves, or at least those that affect the Cowboys and the Texans, coming up a little bit later on. All right, that is the rundown brought to you by Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. TopGun.net is where you find out more about Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. Okay, let's talk about the Longhorns and how they're going to beat Nevada. And it's simple. Like, it's not a complicated game plan. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. And even Shaka said it. They got to get to the rim. If they get into a shootout with the Wolfpack, they are done. They're playing Nevada's game, and Nevada can score. The Longhorns defensively, that being a challenge for them, we'll get to that later, but how the Longhorns win this game is they got to find a way to get to the rim, that via penetration with the guards, or if you're just running the offense through the post, from the block there, you can use your height and your size advantage. Everybody keeps throwing the stat out there, but it's true. Nevada only has a 6-man rotation, and they don't have a player that's over 6'8". So five of those guys are 6'7" or 6'8", their main contributors. So they're long and rangy and skilled, but they crash the boards. Those guys do crash the board. They're actually averaging, I think, more rebounds than Texas is. But they play a different style of basketball. But Texas has to find a way to utilize its height, and they can do that in the post, and they can do that by getting to the rim, second chance points with the length of a 7-foot Mo Bamba, with a 6'9 Jericho Sims, with a 6'9 Osadkowski, who also can run the offense through him because he can pass the ball. That's how simple it is. Am I off here?
No, you're right. Yeah. I mean, I would also add in that the 7-footers, the big man, the 6'9, 6'8, Osadkowski, Bamba, they can't be shooting threes.
Be shooting threes. No, you're getting a shootout. If your big men are shooting threes, man, it's gonna be a long, game. It's gonna be tough. Exactly. I mean, they can't. Now I'm not saying they can't take their opportunities and shoot threes, but I think how you attack Nevada and you also are able to exploit their weakness by utilizing your strength, you get to the rim by penetrating. That way you got a chance for second chance points. You can get them in foul trouble because you're the aggressor, and we already know this is a game of chicken. Whatever team's in foul trouble first, they're going to be a huge disadvantage. They only play six guys. They got a shorter rotation than the Longhorns, who have been missing tons of guys all year long for different reasons. Eric Davis is not going to play, and of course the situation with Andrew Jones. They've been dealing with depth issues all year long. So they're already, shorthanded, and if they get in foul trouble, especially on the perimeter for the Longhorns, man, that can mean trouble. So guys like, Matt Coleman and Kern Roach have got to be really, really smart, because these guys from Nevada, they're a really impressive offensive group. You know what I mean? They really are. So I think you got even kind of to slow the game down, get to the rim, force fouls, second chance points, run the offense, through the post, run it from the block. That's I think you're going to be able to, you're going to have to do that to slow it down, because I think if this Wolfpack team gets in a groove, man, they can be scary. I'll give you a couple of stats about them offensively. Jordan Caroline, who's the second leading scorer on the team, not even the leading scorer, he's averaging around 17 points per game, almost 18 points per game, actually. He actually has averaged 23 points per game over the last five. he's been getting hot. And he's confident. But he's the second leading scorer. The leading scorer is one of twins, actually, on the team, Caleb Martin, who's averaging like 19 points per game. So not that much of a difference. They got two guys that can score. And then his twin brother, Cody, both of those guys transfers, from averaging like 13 points per game. So they got a lot of guys that can score. And their three-point shooting, and Shaka gave this stat, and it's mind-blowing. The three top three-point shooters for Texas made 123 pointers combined, and this is what Shaka gave out. Kendall Stevens, one of the guards for Nevada, he has made 118 three-pointers. That's more than Trey Young has made. So they got a guy that can stroke it. All right, Kendall Stevens can. He's averaging around 13 points per game, but. They got another guy, Hallis Cook. He's averaging, 48% from three-point range. They got guys that, and both of those guys are transfers, too. One came from Iowa State, one came from Purdue. They got a lot of transfers on the team. But they do have tournament experience, and they have that as an advantage over Texas, too. So they got guys that can score. Those guys get in the groove, and they're long and athletic. So they are longer on the perimeter than Texas is, but Texas has the size advantage. Texas has a height advantage inside. So Texas has to go inside. You know what I mean? Texas is out on the perimeter with these guys. These guys can guard Texas on the perimeter. I mean, they really can. These guys are long. Now, they're going to get tired down the stretch. You got to wear them out, which is even more reason to pound the rock, right? To go back to the Popovich terms. So Nevada's tallest player is like 6'8". I think that's where Texas goes, inside. We'll see exactly how Shaka wants to use that advantage. It's a huge one, and you got to use it. So that's it in a nutshell. It's like I said, it's not rocket science. It's pretty easy. It's simple. It's simple and to the point. And one thing that I also was looking at, you're looking at the comparisons with Nevada. Nevada lost to TCU and Texas Tech. You want to go back and look at games where, you know, and Texas Tech is one of the better teams in the country. A lot of people picking Texas Tech to make a run, too, in the tournament. Nevada lost to TCU and Texas Tech in non-conference play this year. So, I mean, that's a good comparison in terms of the competition level in the Big 12. That I think, I don't know if it gives Texas an advantage, but it shows you that, you know, Texas can play at a higher level than, playing their game, play at a higher level than Nevada and still beat Nevada, which is a better team, and has proven that up to this point. So, no tournament experience. I don't know if that'll be a huge deal. I think there's one guy that has tournament experience right now that's going to play, and that's Kerwin Roach. Eric Davis would have been the other one, but he's not playing. So, and Mo Bamba says he says he's 100%. Doesn't matter if he's 100% or 85 or 80%. As long as you got that 7-footer in there, you can tip the scales in your favor. Like in so many different ways, whether it be rebounding. Rebounding is going to be big because that's where Texas has or should have an advantage. And that's why you got to get inside. You don't want long rebounds because you get long rebounds from long shots. Then that means the guys on the perimeter got a chance to get rebounds. They're very active rebounding. All right? You want to get inside where they're tipped right off the glass where your size gives you a distinct advantage. So how does Shaka decide to do it? I don't know. That's the question. The million-dollar question. Okay. There's a couple other things I want to get to. And I wonder if I should just go on this rant now, if I should save it. I got a couple of rants I want to go on. Matter of fact, now you know what my rant. If I go on this rant now, we're gonna be late for the break. We'll go on the rant now. We'll go on the rant next segment. So my rant of the day will be coming up next segment. I got a couple of things that I'll rant on. We'll also get into some NFL news, notes, and nuggets. Talk about the Texans and the Cowboys, what they've done or what they're doing in NFL free agency. Let's play this sound from Rick Barnes. Can we have this, Wags? Rick Barnes was asked, of course, now the head coach of Tennessee, the other UT. He was asked about Augie Garrido because he was here, obviously, during a lot of Augie Garrido's tenure. And after the, during the press conference, somebody asked him, here's the sound and his response.
Sad day. Just many fond memories of Augie. You know, I can remember seasons would be going, and when things weren't going well, he was one of those guys like Yoda. You know, he always had a little something he could tell you. I remember we were playing and struggling a little bit, and he came over and told his story about had won a national championship at Fullerton, and next year he put so much pressure on his team, and he said he was with his mom one day, and she had a picture, and she said, "You notice when your guys won the championship, you're holding the trophy. Why don't you let the kids hold it?" And he said, "I realized that day that it really is not about me." And he told me, he said, "The key to this, what you're doing is, can you get your guys to play like little boys that love the game?" And but we had many, many. I love being around him. Sad day. I just hate it when I heard the news the other day. And but my time at Texas with he and Mac and DeLoss were there's so many memories. And we lost truly just a beautiful personality and his baseball record and all that. But I loved him more as a man than I did as a baseball coach.
That's Rick Barnes, former Texas head basketball coach. Well said. I love the Yoda reference.
Yeah, how about that?
Ah, that was beautiful.
I loved him more as a man than a coach.
More than man as a coach. I love that one, too. Yeah, that was a great, really, really great description there of Augie.
Getting the boys, getting the men to play like boys again.
Yeah. No, he's got, even when you talk about Augie, you know what I mean? Yeah, he, all these little things that he told you, man, those little, we got to get these in Augieisms, whether they be descriptions about Augie or whether they be things that Augie told you. We gotta get this stuff in a, it's gotta be a database or something. We get it all together.
It's just beautiful. It's just wisdom, man. It's just beautiful. It's simplistic.
It's philosophy. It's philosophy. It is straight up, man.
Getting kids to enjoy the game that they loved and grew up playing.
Like boys. It's beautiful. You also have some sound. We got Shaka Smart. Here is current head basketball coach Shaka Smart. And I heard Craig Way say this, that Shaka led off the press conference. And this was basically unsolicited. Like, this was they were asking him about the matchup with Nevada, and he just basically went off on his, you know, rants to start the press conference about how he felt about the passing of Augie.
Augie was a mentor of mine, and I'm heartbroken about that. I don't know what to say. I mean, I loved Augie. You know, Augie, he taught me so much in a time where we were together, and he taught me so much about the fact that what we're doing in our case is so much bigger than basketball, and his case is so much bigger than baseball. And one of the things about Augie, as you guys know, is he was so far ahead of his time with that stuff. And it was frustrating at times for him that people didn't see what he saw. And I think he saw in me that at least I had an appreciation for that. Not that I understood it on his level, but I appreciated those same things. And I'm just going to miss our conversations, man, because he taught me so much.
All right, that was Shaka Smart talking about the passing of Augie Garrido. And yet, the thing that we brought it up yesterday, Augie's won national titles in four different decades. His ability to evolve over those years as a baseball guy is unbelievable. I mean, think about four decades he was able to be successful because his principles were principles that stood the test of time. That didn't, you know, I mean, you can, and people are still going to utilize them, and they do. Here is Mac Brown's statement he put out there. He said, "I loved my dear friend Augie Garrido. We had many, many great times together, and he was a person who always had a very unique way of looking at everything. He really made you think, made you laugh, and always was so much fun to be around. He was truly a special man, one of a kind. He was also obviously the best college baseball coach ever. He will be missed, but his legacy will live on through all those he impacted. Our thoughts, prayers, and support are with his family, his friends during this difficult time." Skip Johnson put a statement out there that was really, really nice. He said, "I'm glad I had the privilege to coach and learn from Augie Garrido. It was an honor to be around that guy every day. I was blessed to get the opportunity to coach with him and learn from him, and I couldn't have had a better mentor in the game." This was one of the best tweets, though, I think, that I saw. It's from Houston Street, and it had Augieisms in there. He just put some Augieisms. He put like four of them on the tweet, and we brought up a couple of them yesterday. He said, "Pressure is a choice." Another one was, "The world treats winners different than losers." Brought that up yesterday. "Time is the ultimate game." Yep, and here's another one. I love this one. "Passion will persuade reality." Wow. He says, "Coach, you've been a genius for so many of us. A true friend, our charming second dad we all thought was just so cool. I love you forever, RIP. Augie Garrido." Yeah, that was a good one. And how about this? Chris Del Conte was, we called him CDC. That's what he's known now among the fans. CDC. And he's active on Twitter. If you want to know something about Texas sports, go ask CDC. He will respond to you. He does. He responded to at Texas Fancy Boots, who said, is a statue of Coach Garrido in the works for Dish. Coach Garrido deserves a tribute for all he did for Texas baseball. Heck, for all he did for baseball, period. Chris Del Conte responds, yes, in the works. We said it yesterday. He's going to get a statue.
Plain and simple.
Yeah, plain and simple. Yes, in the works. We're probably already working on it. They probably wanted him to unveil it. Who knows how close it is to it. So, and VY actually revealed that might be a statue of him. Lots of statues going up. I like this. Yeah, more statues. Okay, we'll come back. When we come back, we'll get into my rant of the day. We'll also have a little discussion about what the Texans and what the Cowboys are doing in NFL free agency. We'll also talk a little bit about Tiger Woods and what it means if he is indeed back. All of that and more right here on the Rodcast. This is The Horn 104.9 at AM 1260. Okay, I see what you did there. I see what you did there, Wax. Okay, I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate other grown men.
That's probably the softest stuff I'll come back to.
You know what? I appreciate it. It was. It's actually, I forgot how good of a song this is. And I got to break this out for my girl because she's young and I know she ain't heard this. You know what I mean? Boom. I appreciate it. All right. Is it Tony? Boom. All right, because sometimes Wags knows more facts about hip-hop and R&B than I do, and it makes me feel bad.
I wouldn't say
it
that.
It makes me feel bad. I feel insecure.
We're on the same level there.
Black card is challenged sometimes when Wags.
Well, so is my black card.
Yes, you do have a black card. Yeah, that's true. All right, you can always hit us up on the Specs Text Line, 512-337-3776. Watching right, and I'll give you some updates on March Madness and the tournament and all these scores coming up here pretty soon as well, but just real quick to wrap up our, not wrap up, but to add to our Augie Garrido conversation. Also, I didn't mention this. The Longhorn Network, they are going to have a special about Augie's life. I think it's going to be on LHN tonight. I believe it's 11, maybe. And I'm sure they'll replay it if they do, but in case you miss it. But they have an Augie Garrido special that they're going to air too today. I saw 11 is when it was supposed to air, so I'm sure they're going to wait till tournament gets done. You got Longhorn basketball. You got Longhorn baseball tonight as well. So it'll be late, but I'm sure that they'll replay it a little bit later. Of course they will. Also, talking about, since we're talking about Augie Garrido a little bit, also, I don't know what they're going to do for the Texas baseball as a tribute to Augie, but I'm pretty sure it'll be something really, really cool. So I'll try to do some research and see if I can find out something specific about it.
Yeah, conference play starts tonight, man. You'd think that they'd have a little bit of a tribute tonight.
They're definitely going to do something. I know. I wonder if I missed the story or something, so I'll dive into it because somebody's already asked me about it too. I don't know for a fact, but I'm guaranteeing something really cool that'll be in the works. All right, so let's not waste any time. I want to get some NFL headlines here, too, or at least those that relate to the Texans and the Cowboys. But first, let me get into my rant of the day. Let's do this.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
Bro, you've got it now. It's time for Rod's rant of the day.
Hold on to your butts.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I got to rant about the tournament because, you know, everybody's obsessed with it. Yeah, everybody's bracket is busted. And I'll say this. Actually, it's good and bad that you had that big upset. You had Arizona upset by Buffalo, 13 beating a 4 seed. And it's good because everybody loves the Cinderella stories. It's great for fans. And it's good for those schools, too. I'll get to that in a second. But I do wonder if it'll hurt. I do wonder if I do research on it, if these Cinderella stories early on, because, you know, if they hurt the ratings because people are not as engaged when their bracket is totally busted, like a lot of people's brackets are. They don't have as much on the line and they don't have as much invested. So maybe they don't want to watch, you know, Bucknell and UMBC and Georgia State when they don't really have much invested because, you know, they had Arizona going real far. So I'll do more research. I think that may have kind of an opposite effect. But the Cinderella stories, everybody loves them. I think Cinderella's kind of a gold digging stink. I'm not a big fan of Cinderella stories. My bracket is pretty ashy most of the time. But I did see this about Cinderella Stories, which is it's a really good study about the impact of a Cinderella like opening tournament win, like as the first round upset, and how valuable it is for these schools. They said to estimate the value of like the opening round NCAA tournament upset, they did the study over the last few years when a Cinderella story, a double digit seed, has pulled the big upset. And they looked at, remember, Florida Gulf Coast beating Georgetown. They looked at Georgia State beating Baylor. They looked at Middle Tennessee beat Michigan State 2 years ago in 2016. And they basically looked at the applications, and they looked at, you know, the free media exposure that those teams had and how much money it was worth. And it was staggering. Florida Gulf Coast in 2013, when they got their opening round upset, they got $350 million in, like, free media when they got that big upset over Georgetown in 2013. And, you know, that was a staggering example. But most schools get around $150 to $200 million in free media. And for these schools that usually aren't on the big stage and they don't have a lot of primetime games, man, that's huge for them because there are no commercials for universities. Like, there's no advertisements for universities, really. As the Lost Dots would always say, sports is the window to the university. That's how people get to know universities now, is through sports. You know what I mean? And that's why the applications increase when a team makes a run. And not just the NCAA tournament. They've found that the BCS and the college football playoff have similar effects on college football. That, you know, it helps with enrollment and applications and just overall popularity, period. So it is really big for Buffalo to get that kind of exposure because, I mean, that's these days you can't put a price on really that free media because it helps you in so many – it helps you in recruiting. It's going to help you get more fans. It's going to help you have more more lucrative shoe contracts because now you can say, well, we were on television this much and got this much exposure, which is what the Nike checks or Under Armour, that's what they want to. It just has a huge positive domino effect for those small universities, even more so than the big universities who get it all the time. So it doesn't have such a profound impact on the big university. But on the small ones, man, those things, they help those schools out for years. And they get tons of revenue from it. Remember, they said the reason Trump won the election, and yeah, he lost the popular vote, no people say that, but they said it was because of free media. That he got like $7 billion in free media and free exposure. That it was just, you know, it was his ability to dominate the headlines and dominate the news cycle. And whether that's good or bad, you know, exposure is exposure. These days, any publicity is good publicity, especially for these really small schools. So I don't normally like Cinderella, but there's no doubt, man, they do themselves a huge favor overall just for the university by winning those games. And, you know, something else that I think is interesting, you start looking at the tournament and looking at these Cinderella stories, and I saw that, you know, Buffalo dominated in terms of their Cinderella story. The Pac-12 had one of the worst opening rounds for any conference in the history of the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
The Pac-12 went 0-3, so UCLA, Arizona State, and Arizona. But also, if you look at the Pac-12 going back to the bowl season with bowl teams, like college football bowl teams, they were 1-11 in bowl games and in NCAA tournament games this year. So that's, the Pac-12 is having a bad 2018 pretty much. And to put that into perspective, the 0-3 performance by the Pac-12 in the tournament, only four conferences have gone at least 0-3 or worse in the NCAA tournament since it expanded to 64 teams in 1985. The SEC did it in 1989. They went 0-5. 1985, the Pac-10 did it. They went 0-4. Mountain West Conference in 04 went 0-3. In 1990, the WAC went 0-3 as well. So the SEC actually went 4-0 so yesterday. So good for the SEC. Tennessee, Kentucky, Bama, and Florida all with wins. But the Pac-12, they on the opposite side of that. How about this? And about that Buffalo win, how big it was. The NCAA tournament, since it expanded to 64 teams in 1985, the only other underdog that was a underdog as large as Buffalo to beat a team by at least 20 points was Utah, and they won by 25 points. They were a 10.5-point underdog. Buffalo was a 9.5-point underdog in the 1998 Elite Eight, and they beat Arizona, strangely enough. So, man, it's that was a talk about it, not just the upset, but the fact that they dominated Arizona. They put their walk-ons out there. Their walk-ons were playing. I mean, they put their walk-ons out there in the tournament. We're talking about how short the rotations are going to be for Texas. They put the walk-ons out there. I was like, go out there and get some minutes. That's how bad they was beating them. Like, it was ugly. People were shocked. And Arizona, like I said, that's a team that a lot of people thought was a sleeper to make it to the Elite Eight in the Final Four.
They're borderline blue chip, man. In basketball, they're borderline blue chip.
Yes, they probably are. I haven't, you know, in terms of blue blood, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, that's what I meant, blue blood.
Yeah, they're blue blood.
What did I say, blue chip?
Probably
that's the movie, Blue Chips.
Blue Chips is the movie, yeah. It's a great movie, by the way. I love it, Nick Nolte. Great reference. But, yeah, I think that, you know, if Arizona, it's just been one of those, you know, those years. I thought they was going to use that as motivation. The FBI probe and, you know, Sean Miller and him being entrenched in scandal. I thought it was going to be motivational for him. I think a lot of people did. That was not the case. It ended up imploding as a result. All right. Real quick. We got time for the Texans and the Cowboys. Give me some. We got a little time for this. I won't take long. All right. So the Cowboys, I said it yesterday that they should still go after Earl Thomas. And Mike Fisher reported that both the Cowboys and the Seahawks are talking. And the reported cost of Earl Thomas is going to be a first-round pick. And I said, you know, don't give him a first-round pick because that's way too expensive for a safety that's probably going to be 30 when you sign him to a new contract, or close to 30 when you sign him to a new contract. They should offer a second-round pick and offer Orlando Scandrick, or offer Orlando Scandrick and offer David Irving, because Orlando Scandrick wants to be traded anyway. But today it's being reported by Jason Lockenfora and by Mike Fisher that the Seattle Seahawks may want a first and a third round pick for Earl Thomas.
You ain't getting that.
So you don't even want to trade Earl Thomas then. And some people saying, oh, they may even want more than that. Maybe that's where they're starting. That's what the starting bid is going to be, so that they will end up getting the first.
Well, that ain't going to open negotiations for me, Rod.
You know what I think happened? And that's a good point. Negotiation. You know what I think happened? They offered that first round pick, and teams kind of scoffed at him and laughed at him. Like, I'm not giving up a first round pick for a 28-year-old safety. I'm not doing that. And they went, okay, you know what? We need to make the bid even higher so that when we settle, it'll be with a first round pick. You know what I mean? Like because I think they started at a point where I think it's unrealistic, but maybe they want to start high, so they end up settling for just a second or a second and a third or somewhere along those lines. I wouldn't give them a first round pick if I'm a team, but maybe if the Cowboys want them that bad, we'll have to see. But if it's just one first round pick, I guess you could think about it. But if it's a first and a third, there's no way. I'd give up a second and. Maybe like a late round pick, maybe a seventh.
If you give up a first, you can't give up any personnel, right? I mean, that's just it. You're getting the first.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you wouldn't. Yeah, okay. I got it. That's why I said Orlando Scandrick. He wants out. So that way I can dump somebody
right.
who wants
that's a
out.
Win-win right there.
Yeah, I got to get rid of somebody anyway, and he wants out. I just drafted a bunch of DBs. I can, you know, trade him too. And they need DB help too. They just got rid of Richard Sherman.
You'd give a second and Scandrick for it?
I would.
Yeah.
I'll give a second, and because I still got to sign him to a deal. He wants a new deal. He didn't want to be the highest paid safety in the league. So I still got to sign him to a new deal. Basically, I'm giving up, you know, capital, giving up personnel, giving up, you know, draft picks to have the chance to woo Earl Thomas into a contract, because he still would have become a free agent. So it's a roll of the dice either way. But Earl Thomas, remember, he did say he wanted to be a Cowboy. He went to the Cowboys locker room and said, hey, come get me. So go get him. He wants to be a Cowboy. Tyrann Mathieu is out there, but we talked about that yesterday. And he's not as good of a fit as Earl. Earl is unique because Earl is the only safety in the league that can do what he does. Sideline to sideline, be the best middle fielder in the game and the best ball hawk in the game when he is healthy. Because that's something like Ed Reed could do that nobody else could do. Center fielder, ball hawk. Like, there ain't a lot of guys out there that can do that. There just ain't. Tyrann Mathieu's skill set is one that I have seen replicated, even though Kenny Vaccaro is basically Honey Badger Light. They got the same kind of skill set. You can put him in the box, you can cover, you can play nickel and cover the slot, cover your tight ends. Earl Thomas, that's a different beast altogether. His skill set is more unique, therefore, even as a safety, he's going to demand more. All right. Okay, we'll talk about the Texans when we come back. I got to the Cowboys there. We'll get into the Texans when we come back. Also, more tournament updates as well. All that and more right here on the broadcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the broadcast. You can always hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776, via Twitter as well. I'm at Rod Babers. My man Wags is at Not the Fake Wags in the Twitterverse. Okay, the Texans have made four acquisitions so far in free agency. Three of them have been on the offensive line. So it's clear that they understand that's their weakest position, and they got to figure then it is. I mean, they had the worst offensive line. Pro Football Focus grades the O-lines, and they said it was the 32nd ranked offensive line. They allowed more pressures than any team in the league, and I think they allowed the second most sacks in the league with 54 sacks. So they were really, really bad. They allowed 28 sacks after they allowed Dwayne Brown, or after they traded Dwayne Brown. So they're learning now, and they had $63 million in cap space. They're finally learning that they got to spend some money on the offensive line. They've been really cheap about it for the last few years. Actually, the Texans, I want to say they were the eighth. They spent the eighth least amount of money on the offensive line in the NFL. All right, and if you start looking at the teams that were skimping on the offensive line and they didn't want to spend money, they wanted to save there. All those teams really had bad O-lines. The Indianapolis Colts, I want to say they were 10th in the 10th in terms of money spent. They were the 10th least. They spent the 10th least amount of money on their offensive line, and they gave up the number one amount of sacks. They gave up 56 sacks. The Giants, they had they were cheap on the offensive line. Spent the third lowest amount of money for their cap, under a cap, on the offensive line. Arizona was really cheap. And look at Arizona, ended up having their starting quarterback get hurt. Denver, I think, was the I think they were fourth in terms of money spent, fourth fewest dollars, fourth smallest amount of capital spent from their salary cap on the offensive line, and they gave up 52 sacks. All right, so they gave up the third most sacks in the NFL. There's a corollary there. There's a connection between skimping on the offensive line and your offensive line being real bad. Remember, the Seattle Seahawks offensive line was real bad the last couple of years because Seattle Seahawks didn't spend a lot of money on their offensive line. Now, if you draft a lot of offensive linemen, that's a different story altogether. Because the Dallas Cowboys drafted a lot of offensive linemen, so they didn't really have to spend a lot of money in terms of their salary cap on their O-line. They had a bargain out on their offensive line because they were drafting really good offensive linemen. They spent draft capital, but they didn't have to spend actual salary cap dollars or as much as their salary cap as a lot of other teams. The Philadelphia Eagles had the fourth most dollars spent on their offensive line, and they had arguably the best offensive line in the league. So the Texans now are spending a ton of money. They got Shantrell Henderson. They brought in the guard Zach Fulton, who's an interior lineman. They brought in Kelemente, who is another lineman that can be kind of a switch guard slash tackle for you, a guy that can change it up. So if you look at it, the Texans are learning a hard lesson. Some things you don't skimp on. Like, you don't skimp on the offensive line, especially now that you have your franchise quarterback, because that's why your franchise quarterback got hurt. That'd be like buying a really nice new car and putting bad tires on it. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make any sense. You buy a really nice car, you got to get really nice tires for it. You know what I mean? Like, and the Texans basically ignored the offensive line, and even to the detriment of their quarterback, they got rid of their best offensive lineman, Dwayne Brown, because they didn't want to pay him.
That reminds me. They didn't want to pay him. Friday, the next Friday. Man, they ain't twills.
Yeah, they ain't 20s.
They 20s.
I keep them clean. Yeah. They 10s, but I keep them clean. Yeah, and then that's why they lost Dwayne Brown, right? They had to trade him because they didn't want to give him the last 2 years of his contract guaranteed. And he wanted to be guaranteed. So because they've been cheap about the offensive line, it's had, you know, this this negative blowback effect where their starting quarterback went down. They found another a franchise quarterback, and he went down. So I think now they've learned a hard lesson. Certain things, you know, don't skimp on toilet paper. Don't be cheap about toilet paper. You don't want cheap toilet paper. Don't be cheap about condoms. Don't skimp on condoms either. All right? There's certain things you don't skimp on. It just is the way it is. Did you hear about that bridge collapsing in Florida? Unfortunately, they killed like six people. It was a bridge to FIU, to Florida International University. It was a really sad story. Like six people died. It was like a walking bridge, and those people that walked to school, and then it collapsed, and you know, like six people died. And they found out that they built the bridge remotely and shipped the bridge in instead of building it there, because it would have been more expensive to build it there. So they basically built it remotely and then shipped it in because it was cheaper. And turns out, like, yeah, you know what? Don't skimp on the bridge. You know what I mean? There's certain things you can save money on. I'm going to need you not to be trying to save money on building a bridge. I'm going to need that to be secure. You know what I mean? Secure, spend the money on it. And now they're looking into it because, yeah, they were trying to cut costs. And, yeah, the bridge collapsed. I think it was less than a week that they had brought the bridge in, and it collapsed. All because they were trying to save some money. You know what I mean? Cut costs. So, you know what I mean? Some things, don't skimp on it. Like, some things are worth every penny. And an offensive line is worth every penny. All right, we'll come back, hit all the big headlines of the day in the rundown, get you caught up with the NCAA tournament. Also, get you caught up with what Tiger Woods is doing at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. All that and more right here on the broadcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260.